Welcome, everyone. I'm Reba Sparrow, and today, Temptation Burns Bright on the Mystery Box Show podcast. Folks, this is a very special story coming to you today. This storyteller told a story with us several years ago, and then kind of disappeared for a while from the storytelling community. And when he came back, he said, "Hey, I've got a story, and I think I can only tell it on your stage. Can we do this?" And it was big. It was big and it was controversial. And I'm so proud of Rocky Wing and this story that he trusted us to collaborate together with. I'll speak more about this at the end of the story, but I just want to say before we get into it, this is another story that we often have stereotypes about. Rocky was a pastor, and I think we set such high standards for people of faith and people in the clergy, as we should set standards in general, of course, but higher standards than most, in that I think we forget that all people are people. And this story is definitely about the humanization of people. So please keep that in mind when you're listening to this very powerful story from Rocky Wing.
September of 2009, and we have our fourth child. She is born. If you do the math backwards, it means that me and my wife had sex in January. And then there's always something weird that happens with the hormones that kick in. And we ended up having sex again in February a couple times. And then that was it for the rest of the pregnancy, which wasn't unusual. I'm an understanding male. I get that things are a little cramped down there and you're a little bigger and things and doesn't always work out. But it was more than just the pregnancy. Sex with me and my wife had been this gradual decline over the years. We started like many newlyweds, you know, three or four times a week. And through the years, it dropped to once a week, then once a month, then every other month, to where it would get to maybe once every 3 months or 6 months. So to go 8 months was not a big deal for our relationship, though it was a big deal for me. Sex for me isn't so much a physical need that I have. It is a very emotional thing. It is a deep connection for me. And not only that, but one of my biggest struggles that I deal with is rejection. So to go to my wife and to ask for this and to be rejected is crushing me. And so I know after we have this baby, or she delivers the baby vaginally, I know that you have to wait for things to heal up and calm down, right? And go back to normal. But now it's February again. And we had not had sex for a year. And I'm in a place where I can't really tell anyone about this because I'm a pastor. And as a pastor on a stage, you're supposed to be an example. And part of being an example is you're supposed to have a good marriage. And so if I were to tell any of my friends who are either fellow pastors at the church that I'm going to, or people that actually go and sit down in the congregation at my church that me and my wife hadn't had sex, by the way, in a year, I don't think I would have my job too long. And this is the job that I dreamed of having since I was 16 years old. This was a job that I went into debt for at a 4-year Bible college. My degree says ministry with a minor in theology. I'm qualified for nothing else, friends. So I keep it a secret. And now it's February again. And we haven't had sex for 2 years. And it's February again, and we haven't had sex for 3 years. And then I finally tell someone after 3.5 years. I open up to someone I trust. And me and my wife begin to go to counseling. Every Monday night for a year, we meet 2 hours with this man and his wife. And it's February again. And it's February again. Now it has been 6 years that me and my wife have not had sex. And that, I remember that January I made a New Year's resolution. This is January 2015. I made this resolution that I'm going to try with this help of the God that I preach about on stage every weekend. And I wake up every morning to go on my run, and I'm praying, and I get home very excited, and I pray for her, and this goes on for 2 months, but then it's February again, and it's been 6 years. And I remember the night, I remember going in to give her a hug goodnight. At this point, all our only touching is hugging and holding hands. We're not even kissing anymore. And I go to give her a hug goodnight, and she feels my erection press up against her belly, and her body turns rigid, and she takes a step back. And that was when I knew my marriage was over. But I can't get a divorce. Pastors can't get divorced. People in the church can, but again, you're that example. If I get a divorce, not only do I lose my 4 kids, but I lose my job, I lose my calling, I lose all the friends I've made over the 18 years in this job. And so I keep that secret. And I'm living a double life now. On stage, one person, at home, another person. Me and my wife's relationship continues to deteriorate. We're not even talking now. She's in one room, I'm in the other room. We're texting in the same house. Never even touching now, not even holding hands or hugging. And into this existence, a very lonely existence, a very rejected, not able to even show this to anyone, carrying this lie inside of me, this woman enters into my life. This beautiful woman with the soul of an artist, Ari, comes in. She goes to my church. And I remember one of our first deep conversations, she asks if she can pray for me or if I can pray for her. That's how our conversation starts. And we begin to have this conversation over Facebook message. And we stay up till 1 a.m., 2 a.m. every night for 3 weeks. And she's the first person I give the key to my soul to. And I tell her everything about me. And she accepts me in a way that no one ever has. And I'm able to be vulnerable with her. And I develop this deep crush. I'm getting butterflies in my stomach when I see her again. It's this strange feeling. I start writing poetry. It's like, who am I? And I'm totally in love. But I can't do anything because I'm a pastor and I'm married and I have this life that I'm trying to uphold. So I don't do anything until September 9th last year. And I'm in my office and it's late at night and she comes in. She was a leader at the youth group. She comes into my office and we're talking. And she stands up and starts talking. I'm sitting down. And she sits down right on my lap. Everything freezes. Except for other things. And to be in a space where you've been rejected for 6.5 years, to have somebody that you are beginning to get feelings for express that, and then she leans back and her hair presses against my face, and I put my hand on her hip, and we just freeze there, not even talking. And I push her gently off me, and I grab her by the hands. I want to look her in the eyes. I sit her down, and we look at each other, and I say, we need to talk about what's going on here. She's like, yeah. I said, we need to talk about this crush that we're having. And she's like, we? I'm like, yeah, I really like you. And she expresses her feelings for me. And I say, well, what are we going to do? I'm married. I'm pastor. I'm your pastor. She had complications of her own. She was going to college in order to save money. She was living with her parents, who also went to my church. And so we began a secret relationship. Again, over Facebook. Just talking. We would watch Netflix together. Okay, start it on 3, 2, 1, and then talk about it during. We would maybe kiss for like 30 seconds at a time here and there. And then in November, we went to a camp where she was the song leader and I was the speaker. And the cool thing about being the camp speaker is you get your own cabin. And I asked if she wanted to come to my room. She said, yes, I do. And when everybody else went to sleep, after I preached my sermon, she came into my room. And that was the first time I had made love in 6.5 years. And afterwards, we turned and faced each other. And I said to her, Ari, I want you to know that that was more than physical for me. That was a connection. We are now connected and nobody will tear us apart. And we continued on through the months in the secret relationship. And we decided to break up in January. And the reason was, is we hadn't been found out yet. We were really good at keeping this thing secret. Nobody knew. Nobody guessed. And so we decided we were going to break up in January, and then I was going to do what I needed to do. I was going to get a divorce. I was going to tell my boss. I was going to step down from leadership. And then when the dust settled from it all, we would get back together and not tell anyone about the affair. And through the entire month of January that I was broken up with her, I began to realize that this plan that I had would destroy me, it would destroy her, and it would destroy us. Because if we planned on getting together and we planned on getting married, then everybody would always ask us, how did you meet? And we would all know that our real foundation of our relationship was a lie. And I said, we need to come clean. So January 26th of 2016, I asked my supervisor to come into my office. And I told him the story I just told you. That was a Tuesday. On Friday, I lost my job. On Saturday morning, I told my wife and moved out of the house. On Monday, our entire staff heard. The following weekend, they told the entire church that Pastor Rocky is no longer a pastor with us. He confessed to adultery. And for those that weren't there the weekend, they sent out a mass email to everyone. On the following Monday. I had a lot of guilt because I had a lot of trust and I broke that trust and I lived a lie and I knew that. So I said, I will do whatever they ask of me. I said, I will do whatever you ask of me, church leadership, except I am gonna get a divorce and I'm gonna be with Ari. But everything else I will do. And one of the things they asked me to do was not to contact her. And so I didn't through February, through March, through April, and through May. And those were the darkest months of my life, not being connected to my soul that I had fallen in love with. But in those months, I was also rejected by the church. I was judged. I was criticized. I was kicked to the curb. I was rejected. And finally, after being rejected again and again and again, after trying to do it right, I just said, well, if this is what it looks like to do it right, I'm just going to do it wrong, you know? And so at the end of May, I called Ari and I said, I need to see you. And she said, okay, I need to see you. And I picked her up at Rock Creek PCC. And we drove to Cathedral Park. And we're walking along and we were both feeling it like it's been a long time since we connected sexually. And there's these lockable public restrooms. at Cathedral Park, and it's amazing. I didn't know how multi-purpose a sink was, but it's so true. We found out that there was a member of the congregation that saw us walk in the bathroom together. They called the pastor of the church. The pastor of the church called her parents. And her parents told her, "You got to start being honest with us when you're going to see Rocky." And she said, "Okay," and started being honest. And they started getting angrier and angrier as the weeks went on, until one night she said, "I'm going out to see Rocky. We're going to go longboarding." And they said, "If you walk out of that house, you're not welcome back in." And that's how we began to live together. And we lived together for 2 weeks, and it was the most amazing 2 weeks of my life, because for once we had what we never had before, which was time. We did all the things that we dreamed about doing over Facebook all those months of just going to buy groceries and walking down the aisle hand in hand and doing our laundry together. Like, that's just sexy, underwear mixing. And and making love every morning and every night, and just sleeping next to my love. And then her birthday was approaching, and I decided I wanted to get her, get us a couple's matching tattoos. Yeah, how sexy is that? I have the triangle, and she has the matching triangle on her other arm, you know, so when we hold hands, it's like they're swinging like this. Super cute. That was a Thursday night after we'd lived together for 2 weeks, and we have her all bandaged up, and we're looking at our arms together, and she gets a text from her dad. And the text says, "Call me." So she calls him, and he says, your mom is being rushed to the emergency room in an ambulance." And I hand her the keys. I say, "Go to your mom. I don't think they'd want to see me right now." She calls me frantically at 1 a.m., says her mom just came out of surgery and has a 1% chance of living. I said, "Do you want me at the hospital?" She said, "Yes." And that is how all of her aunts and her uncles and her cousins and her grandparents found out about me, that they only met as a pastor. And it became apparent that I wasn't there to be their pastor, but I was there for Ari. Her mom passed away on Friday. It was a rupture in her brain, so sudden they don't even know what was the cause. 3 weeks ago, we decided to go public on Facebook, announce our relationship officially. At the last count on our relationship status update Facebook change, we have 11 teary faces. And 2 angry faces. We've decided to delete all the angry comments, but we usually take a screenshot of them before and laugh at them later. We're trying to stay very, very positive about it, but it is difficult for sure. People don't want to hear the story, but we're together now. And as I think over this story, and I think of where I am in life now, every once in a while I have these moments. One hit me yesterday as I look at all I've lost. I've lost my career. I've lost all my friends. I've lost my community. I've lost my family, and it hits me hard in these moments. And I break down in these moments. You know, the most amazing thing is when I walk off of this stage, I get to sit next to my love. I get to sit next to my soulmate. Thank you.
That was Rocky Wing. I'm happy to report that Rocky and Ari have been married now for, I think, what's coming up on 2 years here pretty soon. Are very happy together. They run marathons together, run them and win them, have gone plant-based, which I'm such an advocate for, as I've been plant-based myself for 27 years. So woohoo! And are just living their best lives and couldn't be happier for them. So you can hear Rocky and Ari's band, Helium Shelium, on Bandcamp and find them on Instagram and Facebook. We'll have links for you in the show notes. Let us know what you thought of Rocky's story. You can get in touch with us on social media or email. All of the links are at mysteryboxshow.com. You can also pitch your story to us, and you may end up on one of our live stream shows, like our upcoming Valentine's Day live stream on February 14th. Tickets to that show are available now at our website as well, and they make a great gift for a date night. I can't wait. Valentine's Day is always my favorite show of the year. We'll have those links in the show notes for you as well. You can support us by subscribing to this podcast, giving us a 5-star rating, and writing a review. It really helps us out. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/mysteryboxshow, where we give you early access to all of our podcast episodes and YouTube videos, plus special gifts and so much more. Our music comes from our friend Farnell Newton and the Other Ship Connection. Our audio engineer is Greg Keenan at Sound Minion Studios in Longmont, Colorado. Thanks to our production assistant, Nicole Perkins, my co-producer, Eric Scheuer. I'm your mistress of ceremonies, Reba Sparrow. On our next episode, sometimes you gotta work with what's on hand.
It occurred to me we're going to need lube. I had no lube, but I was determined. I remembered reading a piece, an erotica piece, that referenced butter. Oh, it gets worse than this.
Tune in next time on the Mystery Box Show podcast.